The gold star gleams on Captain Marvel's red and blue suit.
The first time I got to play Carol Danvers was on the set of Avengers. And it was a big surprise. They just said, Bree, if you just go up these stairs, you can go on set. I had no idea who was there. I didn't know what scene I was shooting. And I was thrust in. Suddenly, the cameras were rolling.
Whiskey, 603 Charlie, take one.
I was completely starstruck. It was an incredible moment.
Our hero, Brie Larson.
Yeah! It's just, there's too many things to say that are the best parts of being Carol Danvers.
Brie Larson, Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel.
Every time I get the opportunity to play her, I grow.
Clips show behind the scenes on The Marvels.
These movies are so big, and there's so much you're kind of learning as you go. It can feel really overwhelming at first. And now at this point, I feel like I have a sense of ease. I know how to train. It's all about just being as prepared as possible. Because once we start filming, I have no idea what I'm in for.
Marvel Studios assembled. The making of The Marvels. On set, actors and crew prepare to shoot a fight scene in Kamala Khan's living room.
Let's roll, please.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Iman Vellani, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel.
Marvels is happening. It's cool. Welcome to my happy place. So this is Kamala's bedroom. Fun fact, Iman Vellani's head actually looks like this.
Tiana Paris.
When I first got here, it was like, two workouts a day, training, craziness. That's been really, really fun.
Kamala's bedroom is just everything a Marvel fan wants. All the love of the superheroes is just all around you, and I think that's the coolest part of playing a character that is obsessed with superheroes, just like I am. It's like I'm in my own bedroom, you know?
I love that I get this opportunity to get to dive deeper into who Monica is in the world of the Marvels.
I think I'm distracted.
I could not be happier to be at a place like this. And also the fact that I'm surrounded by so many cool women and powerful people, you know, working alongside me, it's been a real blessing.
Tara DeMarco, visual effects supervisor.
It was amazing to work on a film with three lady heroes, a badass lady villain, and many, many lady department heads.
Quick cuts show the department heads.
Female producer, female director. It was pretty great.
Nia DaCosta, co-writer, director.
Action. The first step for me coming on to direct this movie was that I told everyone I wanted to do a Marvel movie for as long as I possibly could. And then eventually my agent came to me and said, hey, like Captain Marvel 2. And then as I got more information, it was Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau and Miss Marvel. And when I heard about Miss Marvel, I was really excited because she's one of my favorite characters from the comics.
In the comic, Miss Marvel sits on a street lamp.
I read Miss Marvel when it first came out. And I thought it was so fun and so awesome, and I related to her so much because, like, I was a big nerd from, you know, the tri-state area who loved superhero stuff and comic stuff, and she was a nerd who loved that stuff.
Nia works on set.
The process for me was basically talking to Mary Lovanos, who was my exec on the movie.
Nia and I met during the height of the pandemic via Zoom, and primarily we just geeked out about comics, and she pitched an entire Galactus movie. Right off the bat, it was a case of kindred spirits.
Mary Lovanos, executive producer.
I love that Nia brought her sense of fandom to this film. She brought so many big ideas to the table.
I think that exchange of ideas was, that process was how I kind of showed them, like, oh yeah, I can take on this challenge.
Katrine Hedstrom.
I've cut two of Nia's movies, Candyman and Little Woods. Little Woods was very much a drama. Candyman was a little more thriller, horror. And then this is really fun and exciting and has a lot of humor. So I do appreciate that genre-wise, we've been able to like play around a lot and do a lot of different things together.
Megan McDonald.
Nia's incredible, and she's an incredible director, but I think also something that's huge on this is she's also a phenomenal screenwriter.
She has such clarity of vision, who has kind of these overarching goals for the characters in the script and gives you a North Star always.
We've been truly lucky to have incredible writers on this film. Alyssa Krasick came to us from Team Loki. She's irreverent and hilarious.
So maybe Captain Marvel broke it.
What?
Yes. Your friend, Captain Marvel, she's walking up and down our living room.
Is Captain Marvel pressuring you in any way?
And then Megan McDonald, who I worked with on WandaVision, is a brilliant world builder and sci-fi enthusiast. She came up with the idea that our characters are literally entangled.
Our joint exposure to these unsteady jump points and our susceptibility to electromagnetic energy has temporarily entangled our world lines.
Yeah, that right there.
For us, entanglement is great thematically because, one, Carol has a team now, whether she likes it or not.
Oh my God, we're a team.
Oh, no, we're not a team.
We're not a team.
Also, rather than making her less powerful, our entanglement requires her to be more thoughtful about how she's using her power.
Carol switches with Kamala, who falls.
Uh-oh.
What makes it so exciting creatively and so difficult for our characters is she can't just light blast something or someone and has to sit in her feelings. That's really challenging for Carol.
It's a tough one for Carol because we've realized that she's sort of decided to work alone. So there's a little bit of this like protective, no, you stay in the ship, I got this, don't use your powers. And then in time, they realize that she needs this. They can't solve this problem unless they figure it out together.
You can stand tall without standing alone.
Entanglement was a very dynamic idea, but it was a bit like playing three-card Monty the entire film.
The screen splits in three, showing different sets.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Action.
The characters switch during a fight.
Because of the switching, we got to do a really, probably my favorite fight in the movie, which is the switch fight. The first big fight scene between the three heroes. Seeing them switch, not knowing what's going on, not knowing why they're switching, but also having to fight in three different locations.
We were first in Kamala's bedroom, and then she teleported into Darben's ship, and she has no idea it's Darben's ship.
Who swallows two attackers.
Oh my God!
That switch fight is super fun. It has a lot of entanglements.
Action.
It was planned really well by everybody involved.
It was incredibly difficult to plot out, which Nia did masterfully, along with our stunt team and all of our department heads.
We really organized and coordinated that over a long period of time, from like writing it, the shot listing, who goes where and when and all that stuff, and then going into stunt viz.
Joe McLaren.
It's one of our most favorite fights. You know, look at the script beats, what we need to achieve, how long we've got to shoot it, and, you know, just a process of breaking it all down.
It was just really fun to put that all together. For me, it was really about being super detailed and super organized and specific, because once you have people start switching places, it just gets really, really crazy.
We did find it a little in the edit, particularly, we didn't always know that we'd have to show both sides of every switch.
When you have something like two characters who are switching places, do you follow the character to their new location, or do you stay in the location where you are? And so there were an unlimited number of combinations.
You have to try every single alternative in the editing room because something that you would have never thought about could end up being the absolute best part of the movie.
Kamala, are you okay?
Iman poses in front of a green screen.
Go and action, Iman.
The process of creating entanglement shots on set would mean that we would often film each of the hero actors in place and know that we would have to stitch them together later.
We would take action up to the point of the switch. Okay, pause, quickly swap around, and then carry on. It can get confusing at times, so you have to kind of concentrate. Oh, who switched with who? All right, yeah. But fun.
1, 2, 3, go.
Kamala and Monica switch.
Now, why would you say go for going on three?
I'm aware.
A ship flies toward a desolate planet.
What was important about the film for me, as someone who loves sci-fi, was how can we make this feel really epic and make space feel real, but also fun and scary and all of that stuff.
Darben's shard-shaped ship moves through a jump point. Laura Cartman, composer.
In this film, there's a lot of stuff that goes down in space. And I think whenever you're out in space, that also has wonderful musical suggestions.
As a woman plays a giant timpani, Laura runs her fingers across the drum head.
That sounds absolutely awesome.
Right. That's a good one.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
There's a huge cinematic history of what does space sound like. That was something that I definitely leaned into exploring. In space, there is no sound. You only feel vibrations, which then feel like sound. Part of that is because sounds in space are 60 octaves below what the human ear can hear. When I started researching space, I thought of my friend Evelyn Glennie.
Evelyn plays a waterphone, a circular instrument with many different length bars, then bangs on a wooden drum.
Evelyn Glennie is a deaf percussionist. She's world famous.
Marbles roll around inside a steel drum.
What is this?
It is actually a steel drum with marbles on top of the drum.
Oh, that's really cool.
Not only is she this astonishingly amazing musician with the most extensive and fabulous collection of percussion instruments in the world, here's the incredible thing about her. She hears through her body.
Evelyn runs mallets over a gong.
So Evelyn hears through feeling, which is exactly the kind of essence we're trying to replicate in the score. How do you hear through vibrations?
Evelyn plays a smaller drum on top of the large timpani. Laura conducts.
Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. And then there's a theme on top.
In a recording studio, men and women sing.
Early on, I recorded two small choirs, and those small choirs were based in world music traditions. So we had a South Asian Carnatic singer, we had three low basses, we had a really wide-rooted group. What happens is you have kind of this genderless, otherworldly singing.
In the movie, Carol flies with Goose on her shoulder.
All of that was super experimental, and I think the reason why it worked well is because it's sitting in the world of the epic Marvel sound.
Hold that thought.
We were lucky to have fully realized characters team up together for this film.
You've got Iman coming from her show, Tiana coming from her show. There's a lot of history and a lot of backstory.
You said you'd be back before I knew it. When you left.
For me playing Carol, I've got one character that idolizes me and one that sees me as extremely flawed.
I didn't know how to explain to a little girl. A little girl that hung on your every word.
What's so exciting about putting these three people together as well as a writer is all of the juicy conflict.
These characters fit together so nicely, actually, and really complement each other. Kind of at the core of this movie, too, is each of their relationships with the idea of being a superhero.
Energy radiates from Captain Marvel. Carol wakes with a start.
It's really important that we understand that Captain Marvel really can't be the thing standing between life and destruction. It's not always about being Captain Marvel. Sometimes it's about being Carol Danvers.
Maybe we just send it to voicemail.
Bree and Tiana and Iman have just brought their characters to new levels.
Twinsies.
It's actually kind of funny. All three of the actresses have a lot of qualities with their characters. Bree got this job however many years ago. She has so much determination, very similar to Carol Danvers. And then when she got two other cast members, she was such a leader in the sense of like making everyone as comfortable as possible.
Bree, Tiana, and Iman perform in front of a blue screen.
It's been really exciting, really getting to explore the relationship between Monica and Carol, what that history is, what that hurt is, and how they can hopefully heal.
Tiana Paris is such a wonderful Monica. She gave that character so much depth and spirit because she's dealing with the loss of her mother. Tiana just brought so much beauty to that.
You guys are catching me at the end of a very long week, and I just got off of wires with the harness and stuff, and I hope they got a good shot. Lots of craziness happened, but I think I gave y'all one good takeoff.
You know, we're living the dream here. Got three fans.
And Iman Vellani is no exception. She is a huge Marvel nerd.
Mohan Kapoor, Yusuf Khan.
Kamala is Iman. Iman is Kamala. From day one, I believe that she was born to play this part.
It's the coolest job ever, and I could not ask for anything else. I would literally do this my entire life.
She is like someone who gets frozen when she meets someone that she admires, like Kevin Feige or Sam Jackson.
I hid behind our director when Sam walked in the room.
She's so sweet and just fierce. I have to call her fierce because every time I'm like, oh, you're so cute. She's like, I am fierce and strong. I'm like, yes, you're fierce and strong too, and you are just so cute. So that's been really, really fun.
She really brings this incredible warmth and humor. And I think those are all the things I loved about Ms. Marvel in the comics. Her casting is absolutely spot on. It's amazing.
I mean, we found Nani's other bangle, and there's this weirdly beautiful but kind of terrifying woman using the other one to hurt people, and we have to stop her.
Who is Darben?
Zoe Ashton, Darben.
Darben is the very recent Suprema of the Kree Empire. She is a massive contradiction. She's part rage, part hope, part science, part war.
The Skrull have betrayed the Kree!
She's basically been born out of this huge event, which is Captain Marvel destroying the supreme intelligence of the Kree Empire. She has a huge vendetta against her.
The Annihilator destroyed the Kree.
I think about what our heroes are up against with Darben. I think pure conviction. And I think one of the most dangerous kinds of villain is a villain who has nothing left to lose.
Zoe lunges forward with her warhammer, then starts laughing.
Zoe just brought a lot of fun to the character. She had a really good time playing evil.
Zoe as Darben, I didn't know what to expect. When I first saw her on set, I was like, oh my gosh, you look amazing, but you also are very scary. She's quite fierce and intense. And a little unhinged, not Zoe, but Darben. And then, like, as soon as they call cut, she's like the warmest, fuzziest, sweetest person. So it's really this crazy juxtaposition.
I can't go.
I'm having a lot of fun playing Darben. I sometimes look around and can't quite believe that I'm in this world. It's actually really moving because, you know, the MCU has been at the forefront of cinema. And so it's a very profound experience. It's amazing.
Zoe and Iman fight, then start laughing.
End of film.
Crew members work on set.
Working for Marvel, we come with a small army to the set. As support, we are often there with director, with camera, with grips, feeding back constantly what will and won't work later.
It's been a really great collaborative effort. We're all part of the same thing. We're creating the same world. We do have to work, you know, closely together. So every day there will be a conversation.
It's epic. And when you've kind of gone through that process and you see everyone collaborate and come together and kind of get through all the challenges, and really, you know, nothing's a problem. It's just all about working out how you get there. And then fundamentally, that all has to come together for a specific shoot date.
Mia and Sean and the studio really wanted to embrace as much real as we could.
Sound stages hold huge sets.
The sets for this movie were huge because I really wanted to do 360 sets. I wanted to be able to shoot as dynamically as possible. Because the movie was going to be in space, I wanted to make sure whatever was real was actually real and was actually there, so we wouldn't have a bunch of CG in space and then a bunch of CG sets.
We're split over two studios, so fundamentally we had 8 stages, 2 back lots, 54 separate sets, 6 cranes, 5 different planets, a space station, 5 spaceships, 3 evacuation pods, a space elevator, and a golf course.
What?
Yes.
For our little Maria house. Tremendous, amazing art department, 50 strong, construction team, that's probably 350.
One of my favorite sets is Carol's ship.
I'm on Captain Marvel's ship.
Iman gives a tour of the Captain Marvel ship set.
All right, MCU Cribs tours. Carol's ship. If you've ever wondered what it's like to be inside someone's brain, this is it.
We always knew that Carol's ship was kind of like the Airstream space, and she needed to take everything with her. It's her home.
She's been living on that ship for 30 years. It's a cool ship. She can also be comfortable living there.
When you see a lot of films, the spaceships are empty, they're devoid of personality. It's like an office. If you're on a spaceship for a long period of time, how would you live?
Jillia Zeiss, set decorator.
We put in some of her past, things that kept her amused while she was in space, her favorite books. We included some self-help books, which Nia, she thought was hilarious. All her clothes, her workout kit. We tried to make it very personal.
My favorite thing on this entire ship.
They didn't let me put it on.
Captain Marvel's helmet.
Mostly because my head's not that small.
You'll see behind me big globes.
These lovely terrariums.
We bought the biospheres thinking they were a certain size. And the company sent these. We thought there's no way we'll have these biospheres as big. We put one on set. It was quite interesting. We thought she was growing her own food. We immediately loved it and we put more in.
Iman takes a lid off a pot.
The kitchen, we wanted to really feel like she did some cooking.
I like to touch it.
Rather than just eat space food.
Pickled radish. Cucumber and aubergine. Cognac ball.
She's got coffee maker, special knives. Really a normal kitchen, but a space age version of it. And obviously quite a lot of cat references.
Our favorite non-human being.
Cat books and photographs.
Cat food. Much needed.
The whole world of Goose.
Goose tunes. Hey, heart. Soul of Thunder. Party mix. This is on par with Star-Lord cassette tapes, by the way.
Our graphics team did a wonderful job on the photographs and on creating the mix tapes.
Iman shows a cassette tape.
The Yan songs.
She tightens her lips.
We all put in a lot of detail, and often it's a sort of lucky dip whether you'll see those things or not. If you do see them, it's great, and that pays off. But also for the actors who are on the set, in between shots, they're looking around.
She hasn't returned any of these.
It's nice for their character as well.
Giant screens surround the ship set. Pietro Ponti, VFX supervisor, ILM.
For this movie, we went the way of LED volumes. The idea is to give these spacescapes outside of the ships.
This is so exciting. I get to travel in space. We actually get to drift past a nebula and jump through a wormhole in a way that I never thought we'd be able to do live on a set.
The screens show backgrounds.
We used LEDs as a replacement of what we would typically use a blue screen for. With the LEDs, you get an extension of the environment outside the windows.
Sean Bobbitt.
A lot of the times we're shooting in blue screen studios, the content, the images are put in afterwards.
Oh, Lord, it's blue screen. That means Tiana has a list of questions. I don't want to get to the movie theater and be like, wait a minute, I didn't know I was supposed to be reacting to that.
The director walks past a window with a view of Earth.
Nia loves this set because it feels real. She can respond to things on the wall and the characters can respond to things.
The volume screens are just the greatest thing ever. You can actually see what you're supposed to see and not just a green screen. So that's always...
With this, we have live images moving that the actors can then respond to, and we get interactive lighting into the spaceship.
All the materials are very much metal and glass.
The reflections and the colors you're seeing through the screen is real and you believe it.
Jack Brown, virtual production supervisor.
You could slowly see it roll past over these amazing nostalgic props that are littered all over the set.
The screen shows the glowing honeycomb-shaped jump points.
The jump points are the means of space travel. They're also quite bright wormholes. They give you a view of the world that you're traveling to. So to create these jump points, we worked quite closely with the lighting department. They've set up complementary lighting around the ship for special events such as the jump points or the Bifrost. Because, of course, the brightness of the LEDs sometimes was not enough.
Kamala's eyes widen as they go through a jump point.
So as you come through, you get this whole like immersive lighting coming from A to B all the way through to the back of the ship. It really makes people's eyes open and go, oh, wow, this stuff is really great.
With all this new technology, there has to be somebody to guide filmmakers.
Billy Brooks.
ILM Virtual Art Department is a group of people that use real-time software to help answer questions, basically.
Working with their team has been instrumental in our planning. They built this ship in 3D and showed us how our content would play out alongside the scene.
We had 2,400 LED screens. Could we have done with a few more? Probably, but it was never enough, if anything.
Having these visualizations allowed us to decide, for instance, to strip some of the panels from the side and put them at the front to compensate the fact that we were lacking a bit of height.
So we had to create the front of the wall and the two left and right sections to be able to move up and down on request. It allowed us to quickly adapt to any of the needs of Sean. So even if we were shooting a bit too high, because we don't have the luxury of having an LED ceiling on here, we're able to simply move the wall up into position within minutes.
It's actually worked remarkably well. We have great coverage in this ship, and we're able to see the content out of all of the windows.
Time-lapse video shows the crew working inside and around the ship.
Being able to be in a set where you feel like you are actually in space has been quite magical. We all, myself, Sean, Nia, have sat in Carol's chair, come over a moon, and landed on Aladna. You actually feel like you're moving through space in the craziest way, and if you're not careful, you might get a little dizzy. But it's been magical for all of us. The first time we took Kamala through a jump point, the actual wonder on her face.
It's like being at an amusement park, especially when we're doing scenes where they put a gimbal underneath the ship so that the whole thing would move.
David Watkins.
We actually built this gimbal on the stage. We've got a hydraulically controlled motion base. Nia, very early on, she wanted to give the cockpit a real shake, simulate fast travel, change of direction. All in all, a team of probably 40 guys and girls from conception through to the operation on stage. A lot of steel and a lot of hard work. We've done other gimbals before, but not one at this length.
It was probably the toughest set, just in terms of the scale of it. Because we ended up on a gimbal, it means the whole set's at 10'6" in the air. To be that height with the amount of special effects meant it had to be a solid steel structure as opposed, you know, typically we might make it out of scaffold.
To see it all come together, it's quite special. It makes the filmmakers feel like they still have this ownership, which they totally do. That's the goal for us here at ILM. We want to help tell these stories.
This set has been amazing. To have this wacky idea nearly a year ago that we'd be able to fly in space for a few weeks and then actually be here and fly in space. It's been amazing.
On Aladna, a little girl sings.
Fair Aladna, it's a peaceful crossroads.
Our princess is
home. Princess?
It's a technicality.
When I came into the film, they were like, yeah, we're going to have like a musical number in the middle of the movie. And I was like, that's crazy. Then I got really into the idea.
Characters in colorful costumes dance in a courtyard.
You want to live on Aladna. It is stunning, gorgeous. Everybody sings.
Probably was my favorite place to develop because it's really bright and hopeful. And I feel like sci-fi, usually it's very dark and down and grungy and sad. But this place is all about joy.
It's been like my dream to do a musical my whole life. So to get to do it on this scale and this set, it's just super surreal.
When I first signed up to do a Marvel film, the last thing I expected to be doing was a musical number.
We had this amazing choreographer, Shelley Maxwell, come in and choreograph the dances.
We're in the streets of Aladna and we're doing a welcoming big opening number with lots of dancers and movement extras. We started off with 15 dancers doing R&D and then we graduated to 35 and now we have over 100 dancers and movement extras in the space. Movement inspiration came from just jubilation and the idea of being at a great party.
Damn!
As Prince Yan approaches Carol, her clothes turn into a gown.
Her princess gown.
What the hell?
Well, it is a musical number. She has this terrific song and dance with Prince Yan. For me, when I read it, first thing was it was a Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers number.
Yan.
I'm feeling so many feelings right now.
The captain needs a help.
The first film really made me push myself physically, learning how to be strong. And this was actually the opposite. This was about learning how to move, learning how to be more fluid.
What is she doing?
She's respecting this love.
Be sensual, like things that I did not think were gonna come with Lane Carroll at all.
I just wanted Carol to have a moment that isn't in a super suit, that she can be just purely feminine. But even when she's in the most princess gown, it's still a sort of Captain Marvel princess gown.
How many chapters of your Captain Marvel fan fiction is this giving you?
So many.
Aladna was just a feat of filmmaking. It really felt like we were on a lyrical Mediterranean alien planet. Both the massive scale of it and the attention to detail, it was really overwhelming and amazing.
It's beautiful. The set is awesome, and these poor extras have been here since 3 a.m. getting their alien makeup done, and I just have so much appreciation for all the work that's been put into it.
David White, special makeup effects designer.
How on earth do you approach Aladna? It was massive in scale. We've had over maybe 68 life casts of individual characters, full head and hand life casts, gallons and gallons of silicone. The one thing about Aladna is that their costumes are so outrageously cool, color-wise, and terrific shapes. Everything about the makeup is heightened, but it still has to look believable. So the color tones, you can use a bright pink, but it's got these beautiful complementary blues that run through it, all sorts of tones. And with the structure of the makeup, again, it's slightly more lavish. I had like little wisps put on the ends of things and curls, all these very gregarious kind of shapes, but they work beautifully.
Lindsay Pugh, costume designer.
Aladna is a planet of sea, so that everything was very liquid, very soft, very flowing, and all of the colours were from under the sea, so I took a lot of reference from under the sea creatures, pastels and beautiful coral colours. Also, there are some fabulous fashion designers that have that aesthetic in them, namely Iris van Herpen. So I looked a lot at her stuff because she is as off-world as you can get. Because it was off-world, it was very little you could buy in the shop. So, you know, we had to make it all. We had to dye it all. We had to print it, cut it. Everything was done from scratch. So the people that we have in this room, which is a vast emporium in here, was full and buzzing with people working really hard.
Wakana Yoshihara.
That was the most fun element, creating the Aladna citizens. I looked into lots of traditional African art sculptures and tribes from the early 20th century, and I found lots of fascinating hairstyles and how they shaped themselves.
Helen Ingram, head costume fitter.
Aladna, it's the colourful bit in the movie, it's the happy bit in the movie, it's the girly bit, if you like. I'm not interested in all the fights and the, do you know what I mean? We created costumes for dancers, so that was slightly different for movement issues. Lindsay designed tops, bottoms, jackets, coats, all sorts of things that we incorporated into all the different looks when we were fitting. But it's not just Aladna, we've got other planets on the movie, and that makes up, gosh, it must be 1,000 to 1,200 costumes and looks that we've created.
Fun fact, Aladna is actually the leading planet for fashion.
Some of the best costumes I've ever seen, ever. It's just stunning.
It's really fun to add something that we've never quite seen before in the MCU, just to kind of go full comic book madness with our movie overall.
My princess... From the
stop.
We need to talk.
He doesn't have to sing.
He's bilingual.
Clip show Prince Yan.
Oh, yes. Prince Yan. So dreamy.
What a heartthrob.
Park Seo-joon, I saw in a Korean drama during the pandemic. Absolutely loved him. I was like, I think this guy would be really good, actually.
Park is maybe the most famous person I've ever worked with in my life. Like, next level, beyond. We actually went to karaoke one night during filming, and it was quite a stir. He is amazing. I got to stare into his eyes, be scene partners with him. He just has so much charisma. People are gonna be very into Prince Yan.
Joe McLaren, stunt coordinator.
Park was just supernatural. He took to a sword so beautifully. Liang would show him the choreography once, twice. He watched, got it, did it absolutely beautifully and with great energy and grace.
The Aladnians fight the Kree.
You know, we're stunt people. We love battles and, you know, sword play. We're always in our element. The more stunt people we've got flying around trying to kill each other, the happier we are.
I have an army. My army are made up of the people that have been teaching me stunts over the past 7 months. The energy that they give for an entire shooting day and then go learn more fighting to teach you the next day. I mean, they're just such uplifting, kind, gentle people. They do terrible things in the fight, but they're very kind when we're not on camera.
We tried to bring, you know, different unique styles to the battle. With the Aladnians, we wanted them to move differently to the Kree. The Aladnian people are much more peaceful, much more graceful, much more fluid in their movement and almost dance-like. So we wanted to incorporate that in the battle moments so you could see the difference, how they move, the different weapons they use as opposed to the Kree, more traditional with the guns and the maces. But yeah, the battle was great fun.
The three stars wear their superhero costumes.
It's crazy because we're just about at the halfway mark. And it's the first time we're, like, all together in our super suit. So dressed up as the Marvels. So that's really exciting.
For the costumes, the genesis of everything is the comics. So we looked at those and were looking at the way the illustrations moved and how it informs you very much of what the character is. So you can bring that into something that then is made real, is made 3D, is made out of fabric.
Tom Hornsby.
To start the research, the designer and design team look at what they want to make it look like, down to buying the correct fabrics, testing the fabrics, the dyes, the colours, the fixtures, the zips, the poppers.
We are doing things old school by hand, sculpting by hand. We're also digitally sculpting, we're 3D printing, we're laser cutting, we're everything's drawn up in the computer. So we're here to make anything that is prop side of all the costumes, whether it is parts of the Marvel super suits that are done in rubber to space helmets, jewellery, all sorts of things.
We've had four big workshops, around 170 crew. It's almost like a big retail park, if you can imagine, 300 square foot units. You might have between 8 and 12 cutters with their teams working on the costumes, a team of 20 to 30 people in the breakdown department, aging them, dyeing them, gluing them, a leather department making the leather sculpting, costume effects department making the armours. We got some really talented people that achieved a lot in a short space of time.
We all wanted to find a female strength, right? To do this without it being sexualized, with just being women. And I think that was really important to all of us, that we have these strong characters just going about their business without any sort of underlying or sidelong sort of sexuality. It was just women and being strong. Captain Marvel is pretty much invincible, so she doesn't need to have armor, she doesn't need to have anything to protect her, because she does all that herself. Where we got to was to just have something that she can work in, something that's comfortable, that really shows her brand. Likewise with Monica. She's a character that's been around, that people have seen, so it was a development of that. She is now black and white. That was where we wanted to go with that one.
Lindsay has been very open to my thoughts and ideas and what I'm comfortable with and what I haven't been comfortable with. So I'm really happy with the final look. You get the boots, get everything. Yes, thank you.
Tiana poses in her suit.
And then little Kamala, she has a series. So we had that costume, which we carried on through this. And then she gets an upgrade.
Could you get us something a little more battle ready?
You're literally working out when you wear these suits because there's like so much going on. But it's fine because I'm basically getting jacked just wearing it because it's like a workout. It's like imagine if you were wearing a dress made out of resistant bands. And it's great for my shoulders and my trainer says I'm getting stronger from it. So that's all that matters.
Zoe Ashton.
The outfits have been such a pleasure. They brought such an element of transformation. Just running around in leather all day and studs and these space boots. It's made it feel so real.
Darben has a brain for science and a body for war. And so it had to be something that was realistically intimidating and smart in a way, because we meet her at this new point in her career as an emperor. But then she also does a hell of a lot of fighting. It's one against three, you know, and so I had to be able to move and to really be believable as a trained soldier. So there's a really lovely mixture of emperor and soldier that I think Lindsay Pugh, our costume designer, has done brilliantly.
I feel so lucky to have had the hair and makeup team that I've had on this film. Wakino Yoshihara, who's done my hair, and Chantelle McDonald, who's done my makeup, have been my superheroes because the transformation has been massive. It's such a bonkers journey, but I love it. I love this look so much.
In a tall soundstage covered in blue screens, wires lower Brie Larson from a high point. In the film, Captain Marvel floats in space. On set, a stunt person gets punched through a fake ceiling.
Oh, God, the action's great. The action's so good. If I do say so myself.
Peng Zhang, second unit director.
Oh, wow, this movie has a lot of action.
My mom was texting me, how's work today? And I'm like, oh, just fighting some aliens. That's what I do now.
I mean, it's playtime.
As Zoe and Tiana fight, Brie gets pulled between them on wires.
When we talk about action, we need, in the very beginning, we want to feel everything we do is real.
I really just wanted the action to feel grounded enough.
In slow motion, the stunt person flies up through the ceiling.
So that when things did go crazy and people were fighting in the sky, you kind of just believed in everything.
Clips show different fights throughout the movie.
The action's just really special. One of the first things I talked about with Joe McLaren, our stunt coordinator, and our second unit director, Peng, was each character having their own style. And that we saw how it developed throughout the film.
Everybody's seen so many superhero movies. How we can make something interesting, fresh. That's my challenge. Now we have Miss Marvel.
Hi.
We have Monica. Yes. They all have different superpower.
Monica and Carol fly off, leaving Kamala.
I can't fly.
In this movie, you definitely see their powers that they started with evolve.
Miss Marvel, she's just gotten her powers.
At first, it can be a little bit random.
You know, it's a little more clunky and not as elegant.
She can create orbs and things and traps Kree inside those.
Kamala creates a sphere around her and two Kree.
We definitely see that evolve at the end. She uses the hard light to completely her advantage and for teamwork.
Kamala throws discs at Darben and punches her.
And then there's Monica Rambeau, who has not used her powers at all except for science. She has to learn how to fight. She has to learn how to fly. She's learned all this stuff.
We first see her begin to fly outside the Khan's house.
You gotta fly!
Monica unsteadily shoots straight up.
She needs to go and believe that she can go up and help save Kamala. She gets better and more confident as we go.
Monica's eyes and body glow.
For Tiana, it was really important that we track that she's figuring things out. So a lot of questions would be, is this my first time doing this? Oh yeah, this is your first time flying. Or it's not your first time doing that, but it's your first time doing it offensively. It's your first time doing that and hitting someone with it.
Monica punches with a glowing fist.
And then with Captain Marvel, she's been doing this for 30 years. Maybe she can be a little bit sloppy because she's not as focused. Maybe she even takes certain things for granted, and then we see how that shifts throughout the film.
Come on!
A lot of the time is Captain Marvel against maybe 20, 30 Kree. She is the most powerful.
3, 2, 1, action!
We have to show that sense of power, and we do that with one of the best Y teams in the world. Daryl Andrews, Joe Spillhouse. Incredibly hardworking team.
That's fun! I can see all the trailers!
This is a very Wire intensive movie. We have Wires pretty much every day. We see Kree and Darben getting flung here, there, and everywhere. When you see those sequences, all of those moments are meticulously worked out. We look at the physics, we do bag tests, we rehearse with lots of pads, lots of thick mats, and then eventually when things get dialed in, then we'll go to soft set, we'll go to thinner mats. Obviously, we want to protect our stunt performers.
Oh, it's cool, it's Carol.
Peng Zheng walks through the Khan's fight scene. Here, we're pulling back as she throws. Hopefully, we can follow it. Do we have a soft one? Throw it? Not now, but I mean.
Guys, Peng is the best. If you've seen Shang-Chi, then you'll know he is an absolute pro. Fun fact, used to be Jet Li's stunt double.
Oh, it's my agent.
Which is really fun to figure out not just how Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, and Monica Rambeau fight, but also how does the Khan family fight? How is Mrs. Khan and Mr. Khan, like, how are they gonna fight against these aliens?
Action. The actors rehearse the fight in the Khan's living room. In the film, Carol grabs the Kree's weapon.
Obviously, this movie has a lot of visual effects. Almost every shot, you have a visual effects element, but we want a physical to do it, practical to do it.
The actors hang suspended on rigs and from wires.
Actually, you can see how high the roof is. This is Carol jump off, landing on M418. With people that small, we still decided to use a fixed-pitch stunt double to drop. This is about 40 feet to do the real action. The visual effects will help to build up the speed, build up environment. So obviously, the stunt is real. Even when they're flying, we put them on all the different rigs, winches, ratchets.
Tiana gets pulled straight up with wires.
I always found it funny when all three, Iman, Tiana, and Bree, would all be on wires. Bree's sort of like, all right, like, here we go. Tiana's like, oh, this is new for me.
It was real life, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, but because I'm having to, like, act and they shoot me up like a cannon, I was a little scared and shaken up, but it was nice.
And Iman's just like, yay! Like, you know, like she's in a theme park.
I love roller coasters, so this is like my ideal job.
Seeing their different reactions to that was always funny to me.
I'm having the time of my life. I know Tiana sometimes finds it a little difficult.
Tiana makes a face.
And she just sees me like spinning around on like the tuning fork and everything, and I'm like having the time of my life.
Iman swings on wires.
This is great. I come to work and I just play around. It's like bungee jumping every day. Oh, it's great. It's a dream.
Bree stays upright as wires pull her by the waist.
This is where all the training actually comes in, where you're literally just being hung on a wire by like your shoulder point and your thighs, and you just gotta hold your core like crazy. You're working out all day. It's insane, but this is the superhero stuff. It's dorky and as weird as it looks, like when we're all bald and have like weird alien spikes on our head and dots on our face. It's like, it's weird. But you still feel like a superhero.
The preparation is intense. For the first film, I trained for 9 months. The second film, probably about 4 months. I was able to do a one-arm pull-up and one-arm push-ups. 10 on both arms. And it's all about just getting my body completely limber and strong and ready for whatever.
The three actors hold hands while suspended.
When I first got here, I had a couple of weeks with Maria, my stunt double, just really trying to learn some basics. They've just been so helpful, so patient, so encouraging, also just really badass, as you can see. So I'm like, I'm gonna tap you in. You go, you do it. Please make me look great. I'll do what I can. It's been wonderful.
I can't talk about the stunt team without crying, so I'm going to try this one time.
On set, Zowie throws a punch.
I had no idea how key the stunt team is to a film like this.
Stunt performers fly backward in various scenes.
That might sound naive, but they are the beating heart.
They film a battle scene on Aladna.
Like a musical, when you sing, that's your level of communication. Combat is the communication of these films. When I first went into my stunt session, I worried about my level of strength and coordination. But I needn't have worried, because the stunt team are the kindest, most hardworking people you could meet.
Andy Lister, assistant fight coordinator.
I've just been talking about all you guys.
Oh, no. It's not true. I promise it's not true.
These are the amazing team that I've been talking about. Andy Lister, Liang, Snow, Rashid Phoenix.
Plus Maria and Jess and Snow.
My stunt doubles know the greatest people ever.
As you can see, Rashid is a male.
Yes, so Zowie is a lovely, lovely, tall lady. We're a little bit short on 5'11" ladies over here in the UK. So come on, girls, get training for the stunt register.
He's had to throw himself into wearing a lot of padding in all the right places.
He's a tall, slender gentleman with legs most women would absolutely kill for. Zowie had that situation before and was more than happy and absolutely loves Rash. And then we have the lovely Chloe, who is a beautiful mover as well, but can't be in two places at once.
He makes me look so good. And you wear the hair well.
The stunt double flips his long wig.
Sometimes it's styled a bit better than mine. I get quite annoyed about that.
A crew member holds a color checker and a chrome ball.
The wonderful thing about working in visual effects for Marvel Studios, they allow us to capture all of the reference we would ever need every time.
Iman poses in her suit and helmet.
Are there cats?
On set, a cat sits on a person all in blue, then hops up on a stunt woman's shoulder.
Mia really cared about cats. We brought real cats into pretty much every scene.
It was so cute. Even the grumpiest crew members would be like, where are the cats? Like, you know.
The interesting challenge with recreating a house cat is that many, 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 many people have house cats and they know what they look like. You might have one that sleeps next to you. We wanted to be as accurate as possible. So we actually did a super complicated cat scan to create the best possible CG cat.
Joe Vaughn, head cat trainer.
We have two geese on this. This is Nemo, who is one of them. The lead cat is called Tango. We have two because they're both good at very different things. Nemo, he's a bit more of a stunt cat. He likes to do all the running, the jumping. Tango is much steadier. He does all of the sitting, staying, the eyelines, the quirky looks. They're a good team.
Alyssa Karasik and Megan McDonald.
Tango and Nemo, they're really just a nightmare. I'm kidding. They're just the biggest divas on this set. At one point, Nia was like, it's me or them.
And Nia made her choice.
Yes. And that was the last day I worked on the Marvels.
Action. Iman holds a kitten.
I'll give these back so people think I'm actually working.
Kittens run around on the set.
Kitten days were exhilarating. Truly the best thing ever. Also incredibly stressful.
Crew members wrangle the cats.
They were tiny and sweet and terrifyingly unpredictable. The entire crew became cat moms. Everyone was liable to herd cats if ever they ran off in the wrong direction.
So we're literally herding cats?
It basically became the scene of the movie that we were shooting.
Just like with Goose, we often would film our kittens as a reference, but kittens aren't as well trained as our hero Goose was, so almost every kitten in the movie is a CG kitten. But there are a handful of shots where they were too cute to pass up, and I'll let you decide which ones they were.
When you have your director coming up to you giving you notes and like everyone's got a kitten, that's a great day. When you're on like an 85-day shoot, like, yeah, you should have some days where kittens are there.
Iman smooths her hair.
I do like cats.
Clips show crew members working on set.
The gift and challenge of this movie is that you're not only answering to the widening MCU and multiple backstories, but you're doing that times three. Something that I've always loved about the MCU as a fan is how it blends so many genres at once, and oftentimes the tone of a movie will follow from the character. When you have three characters like this, it actually gives you a lot to play with.
In a studio, an orchestra plays.
We're here today at Abbey Road Studios, recording the score for The Marvels. I feel privileged beyond belief to be here. It sounds amazing. The room is amazing. The musicians are amazing. To have this kind of orchestra and this combination of 90 players out there who are all phenomenal, to be able to express my musical thoughts is a privilege.
Laura Kirtman came to us from What If, taking many different heroes from all across the Marvel Universe and finding each of their own signature sounds and themes and bringing them together.
What If was a great place to train for doing Ms. Marvel and for doing the Marvels.
You've got our three protagonists, all who've appeared in other shows, right? Ms. Marvel, WandaVision, and of course, Captain Marvel.
So we had to have a new superhero theme that was the theme for the three of them, like a team theme.
Laura did an amazing job coming up with a theme that we all hum around the office, and that's really...
so good. Sometimes I'll turn it on just to dance to it in my office.
I think it's a fabulous theme. Am I allowed to say that? I think it's great. 12 French horns, Marvel theme, upbeat, you know, super fun.
Also, quite noteworthy is our theme for Darben.
For her sound, I used 7 flutes, including a contrabass flute. So it's this wicked, low, slithery sound. That, to me, is Darben.
The flute theme that you'll hear, there's a little bit of jazz in there, I gotta say. Because Darben's kind of jazzy in her own way, right? She's got a vibe, she's got an attitude, which struck me as smoky.
Nia had a lot of input. She came to every session. She was really there. She participated.
See, all the strings doing that.
Mm-hmm. And we did some really cool improvisations with the orchestra as well. I call it the wall of sound, where I took all of the elements of Darben's theme and cued everyone in the orchestra to play them simultaneously.
So what it is it's structured chaos.
She was super hip to that and loved all that kind of experimentation.
We're calling this a wall of sound. And Nia is going to help shape the whole thing. Mm.
The director, Nia, stands with the conductor and points to different sections of the orchestra. In the film, the honeycomb structure of a jump point rips apart. In the studio...
absolutely perfect.
Thank you.
Laura raises her arms. Best day of our lives. Thank you.
The week that we spent at Abbey Road was really one of the best weeks of my life. There was a sense of camaraderie. We had all female first chair players, and I insisted on a diverse orchestra, so we saw a lot of different faces in the orchestra, so that was great. I feel so fortunate to be appreciated in this world because I love it so much.
On set, Zowie messes up. She and the crew laugh.
There were so many fun and memorable things from set. It was that kind of shoot. It was a really fun shoot. So there were so many moments that were really memorable.
The crew celebrates birthdays.
Kevin Feige, Samuel Jackson, Brie Larson, Tiana Paris, just all these amazing people singing me happy birthday. That moment replays in my head over and over again. Cake was good too.
This is not us going to like work and then we clock out. This is our life. So there was just this childlike play.
We're able to rib each other because we have so much love for one another.
The crew dances wearing masks.
Yeah, there's some really funny things that happen that will not sound funny at all because it's like, oh, someone went up on a wire weird. And we could not stop laughing. Like, we could not stop laughing for the longest time. It was so much fun. It was so great. I had the most amazing crew. And every day was something new.
This show is a bit like a party.
We all just had each other, basically.
Jack Ravenscroft, first assistant director.
Just one more for me before I hand over to Nia. I just want to say to Nia, from all of us, I think you'll join me in saying, the most fantastic leader we could have had for the last 17 weeks and all the prep, and the best of luck to her.
Thank you so, 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 so much. This job absolutely terrified me when I got it last summer. You guys have made it the most enjoyable, exciting, awesome experience I've had. I love you all. Thank you. Thank you.
As the crew cheers, Nia places her hands over her heart.
The set was a really wonderful place to be. The crew really became a family. It's truly been a passion project for each and every one of us.
Nia, our director, and Mary, our producer, fostered the best on-set environment. It was really fulfilling to work with such an integrated, collaborative group.
Amazing, guys.
The most rewarding part of this whole production is the collaboration with the cast, with the crew.
Thank you so much.
It is an extraordinary privilege to work with such talented people.
Hair, makeup, wardrobe, choreography, everything. It went to the next level.
This movie's gonna inspire a lot of people, and I'm very excited. I think it's very different than everything we have in the MCU so far, and, you know, it's so rare where you get to see this many badass people of color and women at the forefront of a movie on a scale this huge.
Various colored lights flash over Carol as she flies her spaceship.
This movie is a tone setter, I think, for the MCU going forward in terms of how it does bring disparate characters together across space and time, how that can really escalate or upgrade the storytelling. There's more of a cosmic community, whether or not characters know that.
What you seek is seeking you.
Okay. Today's my wrap day. Very bittersweet about it. Haven't really processed anything. This job has been so incredibly wonderful.
Bree and Iman walk downstairs toward a cheering crew. Bree emotionally covers her mouth with both hands. Standing on the lower steps, she looks around at everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being away from your families and your friends and your pets and your loved ones. Thank you for dedicating so much time to this. I just cherish all of you so much.
She blows kisses to everyone. She and Iman share a big hug. Bree and Nia hug. In the film, Captain Marvel flies into Hala's son.
Where this film ends, there's a big question mark there of what that means for Carol. There's a lot in her heart that is settled. There's a lot in my heart that feels settled. Every other character, when it's over, I'm like, get it off. And this is the one that I've been like, I think I'm gonna keep this on a little bit longer. And I've seen how this star, this symbol has meant so much to so many people. And I would love to carry on that tradition of being able to be part of it. And also I understand that it's not all mine, you know? Anybody could take that mantle. And I also feel at peace with the fact that we've got this new school coming in. I was born for this. There's new faces, new superheroes coming in, and so I don't know where Carol's place is. And I feel like I can rest in the fact that, like, we got some amazing people that are gonna help take care of this universe.
Higher, further, faster. Higher, further, faster.
Monica radiates white light. Kamala crosses her bangled wrists. Captain Marvel glows and shoots off into space. Cut to black. Audio description by Deluxe. Funded by Disney Plus Originals. Voice by Laura Post.